You guys got
that sound?
Oh yeah, man, the pilot number 70.
Oh yeah,
it's been a minute, but we're back. I'm happy to get another podcast in the books. There's a lot to talk about. You've definitely had some traveling expeditions that I want to hear about, and a lot has happened in LA since we've last podcast.
National Geographic right there.
That's right,
that's me traveling.
But before we start, I want to share some wise words. Your soulmate is out there. And if you spend your energy partying instead of searching, you'll find them. Andrew WK. That guy is party all the time. He really means it. Like, I thought it was just party because every other word in the song titles of his albums, there's party in there. But wait till you follow him on Twitter. It's just party all day, party nonstop. Sorry, I came across this. And one, I think it's hilarious. But two, I think there's some truth to that. I mean, that's, with all honesty, like, that's how I found my wife. Like, I spent my energy on partying, and that's who I found. And, you know, people are always like, especially now the holidays, people are like, oh, I'm single. I want to be with someone who loves me. Like, you can't focus on finding someone. You got to focus on partying. You feel me on that, Fonz? You feel me on that?
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah. Partying is great, man. And then, and if you don't find the person that you love, or like a loved one or whatever, or someone to hang out with, just keep partying.
The party never ends.
Right? Just keep partying.
Like, you didn't party long enough. If you didn't find her or him, you didn't party long enough. Yeah, yeah. You're stopping.
Yeah, you got to keep partying.
That's the problem. Don't go to work. Who knows? That Monday.
That Monday.
Maybe that Tuesday. Maybe that random Wednesday. I mean, you just can't stop. So when I came across this quote, I was like, this is beautiful. This is true. This is a testimonial that this is true. And not like a weight loss supplement testimonial. This is a for real testimonial. Like, dude, you can't spend your energy on searching. You gotta spend your energy on partying. Right, Fonz?
So you have more quotes on Andrew WK than you know his songs, right?
Oh yeah. Well, no, because one time I like made it a point to listen to his whole catalog. I just heard the whole, like, on Spotify, I heard all the albums, and I just took it everywhere. And not gonna lie, I felt like partying. But yeah, it's cool. You know what? Andrew WK, without getting too much, it's like, it's a fun rock. Like, LMFAO is fun EDM music, but it's not like real EDM music. It's fun party EDM music. Andrew WK is fun, like rock. Like rock and roll, like metal-ish, punk-ish, just rock, but it's fun rock.
Okay.
And it makes it party rock. And it party rock. Yeah, that's exactly what that is. So I love Andrew WK. This podcast is going to be a party. It's already a party. We crack these brews open. Is this leftovers from Opie?
Yep, the Opie ones.
From the previous podcast with Opie, the Sublime Mexican Lager. And today's show is sponsored by Reboot the Robot. That's the mascot for Fantastic IT.
Reboot?
Yeah, Reboot. And Fantastic IT is who handles all our IT products and our products or services. They make it 1,000 times easier for me to do this podcast because I'm not computer literate. I'm not even podcast literate, but, you know, here we are. He says, I got this batch of some stuff that you need to check out. And this batch is called Cooper's Crows. Jameson makes it. And it is, word on the street, it's pretty darn good. And so here's a couple things about it. It's called Cooper's Crows. I didn't know a Cooper is like the position, one who makes whiskey. Like, that's a Cooper.
Well, like Cooperstown?
Is that, do they make whiskey there or do they make,
I think they
booze?
Make, I think the barrels are make, Cooper's.
Okay, so maybe Cooper is one, he's one who, it's a position. It's a, yeah. like a, so maybe one who makes barrels, that maybe he's a Cooper.
Cooper, I think. Yeah, one of those two. But it has to do with whiskey, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, and you're right because the crows is the tool they brand the barrels with. So that's how I feel that you're right.
Okay.
So Cooper's Crows is the name of this whiskey.
So Cooperstown is probably a place where they would make the barrels for whiskey.
Probably.
So it's got to be probably close to like Tennessee or one of those. Where is Cooperstown?
No, Cooperstown is like, it's like in New York State, but it's 3 hours away from New York City.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So it's very far and it's very west.
Oh.
But yeah, Cooper's Crows. And we got this nice little batch from Fantastic IT, and let's give it a shot. Let's see what this... Let's give it a shot. And if you've tasted Jameson, it's like an enhanced version of Jameson. Smooth. Doesn't make
it's
me...
good.
Doesn't give me the face.
No, it feels like a fancier Jameson, if that's possible.
Everything's possible on this podcast, Fonz. The fact that we're doing... podcast number 70 is makes everything possible. That's good.
It's good stuff. Thanks,
Jason. Thanks, Fantastic IT.
Reboot the robot.
Reboot the robot. Hashtag. Yeah.
He sounds like their IT people sound like way better than our IT guy. Because at least he'd probably like be on the phone and tell you, all right, can you like reboot your computer or, reboot? Look at that little sticker that I gave you, a little reboot guy. Our IT guy would be like, why don't you turn it on and off? I mean, what the heck?
Wait. Right, exactly. Are you talking about our previous IT guy or?
No, mine at work.
Oh, okay.
my 9 to 5, just like.
Yeah.
Why don't you turn it on and off? He's just so impatient and just. This guy sounds like, oh, they even have like their little robot's named Reboot. I think I like that. I think I'd rather go with them.
Dude, they go with them because I found a way to just push like 4 buttons and it can transfer data, which I couldn't do when I used to belong to another IT company in our first podcast. So Fantastic IT has made my life 1,000 times easier, and it's made her 1,000 times greater with
whiskey,
with a little Cooper's Crows over here for the show. So good way to start. Let's dive in, man. Let's dive in. Don't forget already, you're already just by listening to this podcast, you're already partying. So it's cool. What'd you do last night? I was partying.
Partying.
What'd you do? Podcast partying. Party pickle for those of you guys deep. Yeah, we'll talk about that. 10 years ago, Fonz, I'm looking at our Podcast User Magazine cover that we were on 10 years ago, right here on your wall.
Yeah.
We'll get to that. But, you went to Argentina for how long were you gone?
11 days.
11. Was that it? Dude, that'd have been long. Yeah. It was like 40 days, dude. In those 11 days, a lot happened, including the Dodgers made it to the World Series. In 29 years, the Dodgers made it to the World Series. I could not help feeling like a kid, dude. Like, did you hear, like, were you checking your phone? Or how did you hear that the Dodgers made the World Series, like when they beat the Cubs?
I probably didn't hear about it for a while, like until... couple days after, just because I was
but when like when you
oh well, I heard how, it, I heard how, it on Facebook just oh, everybody was
were you like what
yeah serious like this is awesome and I'm over here, but that was pretty awesome too.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Kind of like it's a good hey, year. Everyone oh no one gets
no
it
one gets, no.
Hey, well, the Dodgers made the World Series. It is phenomenal, man. We like just bleed Dodger blue. Like, I mean, we grew up in LA. Dodger Stadium was like, we can walk to it from our high school. Yep. And the countless of times we've been to Dodger Stadium. You even bought me, or on my birthday, you went with me to a Dodger game.
Yeah.
And that's one of the many times we've been. And it was great. It was great for the city. We didn't win it. We lost game 7. But I can tell you, like, all the shit talking. It is so funny. All the shit talking I've received for them not winning the World Series, 100% of it has not been by an Astro fan.
Yeah.
It's been like from some transient dude or a dude that just like Cubs, New York Mets, just random teams like that didn't even make it to the end, right? And I'm like, there's not one Astro fan who has all the right to rub it in, and they haven't rubbed it in. I'm like, wow, that's, you know.
Have you ever met an Astro fan?
No. No, actually, you know what? No, I don't.
All right, an Astro fan.
But the media is, the social media is pretty big, right? Yeah. I'm not talking about people on the street. They're like, hey, fuck you, pal. Dodgers lost. I'm not talking about like that. I'm talking about like on social.
He flips like, off your hat.
Yeah, like, fucking, and I'm like, want a bunch of like, well, he is an Astros fan. Yes, sir. I'll pick up my hat and keep walking my beat, I guess. But like on social media, like, dude, everyone is like, I'm like Cub fans are talking shit. I'm like, did you just not see us kick you out of the playoffs? Yeah. Well, we won it last year. I'm like, isn't that like history? And if you're going to talk about history, we got you beat by like five to one. We got five championships or Giants fan. That's another one. Giants. So I'm like, you guys do understand you were in last place. Like that was the worst season you've ever had in your life. Like it was the worst season. Like it was a dumpster fire of a team. Dumpster fire. Like just, that's the worst last like the ever. And they're like, oh, blah, blah, blah. You can never be like the Giants. I'm like, well, we got five. You have three.
But doesn't it seem too like more people talk shit about the Dodgers than Dodger fans talk shit about other teams?
Oh yeah, that's total. That's a total. It's like an LA-ism. Like when, you know, so everyone knows I spent some time in Utah, and Utah's number one rival are the Lakers. And you ask any Laker fan here in LA, who's your biggest rival? They're gonna be like, the Celtics. They're like the Jazz, and they're not like our rivals, right? Like they yeah. don't even think of the Jazz, but out there they absolutely despise the Lakers. And then it's not an evenly matched thing. Angels, Dodgers, same thing. People in Orange County don't like the Dodgers. People who are in LA that are Dodger fans are kind of like, yeah, I'll go every once in a while to Anaheim. I'll go watch the Dodgers. Yeah. But people in Anaheim or in Orange County are like, I hate the Dodgers, blah, blah. So to your point, right? That's the point yeah, you're making. Yeah, exactly. For real, dude. It's kind of like
Dodger fans.
Ain't nobody got time for that. We're sitting in traffic, dude. we're watching. We're listening to Joe Rogan. We're listening to podcasts. Tim Ferriss, Walter Fons, Tres Jefes.
Nobody got time.
You're right. That's an excellent point, Fons. LA sports fans don't really kind of talk shit as much as we receive it, at least Dodger yeah. fans, I think.
Dodger fans, I think Dodger, Raider fans.
Raider fans. Yeah. Raiders is still LA. Raiders yeah. is worldwide. Worldwide. The Illuminati. They're Raider fans. Get it right, people. Go to Argentina. Raider they're fans. Freaking Raider fans. Get that shit right. But with that, you know, on Monday, it was National Nacho Day. Did you eat nachos on Monday?
Nacho.
So November 6th, I think, this Monday, was National Nacho Day. I'm pretty good. I don't know. Let me ask you a question. Are you pretty good about your dumb national days, like National Donut Day, where you eat a donut? Like National whatever, Hot Dog Day, where you eat a hot dog?
I don't go out of my way for it, but if I work with a bunch of girls, so if they know about it, they'll bring some food or whatever, and they're like, all right, I'm part of it.
So then if it's there, okay, so it comes across. Yeah. So you don't like you don't hear about it and then say, okay, I'm actively going to pursue
no,
it?
No, sorry.
Okay. I'm such a ham, dude. Are you? I'm totally a fucking ham. Like seven on July 11th, I'll go to 7-Eleven, like, because it's their anniversary. Okay. I do a bunch of stupid stuff, like Donut National Donut Day for sure. I eat a donut.
That's cool, though. But you try to post it, too?
What's that?
Do you post it or you just do it for your own?
Oh, I do it first. Then if I have time, I post. And I'm usually good about posting it on our Facebook anyway. But I didn't do National Nacho Day because you know what? The truth, I didn't know it existed. I found out about it yesterday.
We should make a calendar with all the national days on there, right?
All the good stuff. All the good stuff. Like Beef Stroganoff Day. Like National Beef Stroganoff Day, National, all that good stuff.
I've only donut. Had beef stroganoff from Hamburger Helper, bro, and dude, that was terrible.
It was terrible. You gotta have it just for like raw, like just like someone make it from scratch.
Oh,
it
that sounds amazing. Bomb. Yeah.
Well, first I like that. Freaking man, National Left White Glove, Michael Jackson Glove Day, tuna helper, Hamburger Helper. So why I bring this up is. is because the guy who created the nachos, his name was Frank Liberto, died the day before National Nacho Day.
Oh, no way.
So he like was like, I mean, he died of natural causes, but you have to imagine, does it cross your mind and be like,
I thought you said he died of natural causes.
Natural causes. Right? Did he die of natural causes? Probably. But you have to imagine, right? Like, if there's a national holiday in your behalf, do you think you want to like be like, I can make it? Like, doesn't it cross your mind?
Yeah.
For sure it crosses your mind. The Washington Post, I came across this article, an article by Matt Bonsteel. He just kind of highlighted his life and talked about how it came about. And he didn't create necessarily the nachos. It was a Mexican guy who hosted army wives in Mexico in the 40s. And he just kind of scooped up whatever he can find in the kitchen to make an appetizer. But it was like cheese on chips. It wasn't necessarily like that nacho.
Nacho Bel Grande.
That nacho dirty, that cheese, that gooey cheese product.
The cheese product? Cheese
product. So this guy.
Cheese sauce.
Cheese sauce. That's right, dude. So this guy, Frank Liberto, who he made the cheese sauce. He changed the recipe and made the cheese sauce. And he made it available for the Texas Rangers that they can make something that's going to have a long shelf life, can make high profit. And it's very easy to do.
Oh, wow.
And so Texas Rangers, then it led over to the Texas, then the Dallas Cowboys. So they were the first to use it. And after the first year, check this out, dude. After the first year, popcorn would sell at these football games at the Dallas Cowboys in Texas. One popcorn serving, right? Like, let me have some popcorn for every 14 patrons. That was kind of the standard. When the nacho cheese, when the nachos came out, every 2.5 people would buy nachos.
Wow.
Dude, it was bananas. I mean, who doesn't like nachos?
Right? Yeah. It's something wrong with you if you don't like nachos.
Dodgers, baseball, sporting event, nachos. I mean, the family who created this grosses like $80 million in revenue annually since 2012.
Damn. Nice.
Trans fat, baby. That's the way to go. People are investing in petroleum. You got to invest in trans fat. Shit.
Cheese sauce.
So he passed away. I'm going to, I'll always honor his legacy, and I'm down for nachos anytime, man. I am a nacho freak. Freak.
But you have to make your own nacho sauce. Like, I mean, you can't find, like, you can't go to a restaurant and get nachos, like, the right way, like, the nacho sauce way anymore, huh?
It either comes too authentic, like, in the form where, like, it's either going to be melted cheese, yeah. It's not the same, or it's like that, what's that called, queso.
Queso.
Like, queso fundido,
uh-huh.
Right?
Yeah.
And it's, like, super, super culinary. Like, it's, like, too much. Yeah. Like, it's like, dude,
It's like, you put chorizo in it. I love chorizo, but nah, I want some cheese sauce.
I just want some goddamn cheese sauce on a plane. So cheers to Frank Liberto and your legacy and your life and your hard work, and nacho cheese will live on forever. Trust me, I will single-handedly push that shit.
We should go have nachos like with him.
At his grave?
Yeah. Hang out there.
For real.
Bring some
I'm down to Texas. I'm always down to go to Texas. Speaking of places to go, let's get to the Nilly Dilly. Fonz, you went to Argentina for, I think, 74 days? Is that how long you went? 74? So you went to Argentina for 74 days. I got a lot of questions to ask you. I have not ever been to Argentina. We went to an Argentinian steakhouse in Amsterdam.
Yes,
that's probably my last like tie to Argentina. It couldn't be far. It's like asking for a burrito at a McDonald's, right? Yeah. In Argentina. But how was Argentina? What was it like?
It was amazing, man. The flight was it's like 11 hours.
You wouldn't think that because you kind of like just when you think of Europe or Australia. Or Japan.
It's a long one.
But you don't really think of going south, how big the planet is or where we are, how south you can go. 11 hours?
11 hours, yeah. But I slept the whole, like, pretty much the whole way. The long flight, So I flew from here to Houston and from Houston to Buenos Aires and slept the whole way. So I just like fell asleep, woke up. Oh, we're here. Awesome. You know, so that was great because you just don't feel anything. You don't have to like time flies.
Honestly, I always travel tired. Like that's how I roll. Like I want to get little sleep to make the pain of being on a plane.
Sitting down for a long time.
Yeah, man. I just try to sleep. But you made it.
I made it. Made it. Buenos Aires, man. It's awesome. It's a big city. Big city. Just a lot to do. We stayed in a place called Palermo Hollywood. There's a bunch of little Palermos, and it's like trying to make everything fancy. So the Palermo area is like the fancy side or whatever. But Palermo Hollywood, it's like the hipster part of Buenos Aires in that general area in the big city. It's surrounded by movie studios. So right next to where we were staying, we stayed at Airbnb. The guy from the Airbnb that we stayed at, he grew up in right here in Hawaiian Gardens.
No way.
Yep.
Wow.
So he moved out and stayed over there. And so we stayed with him, met him. And next door to us was the AMC Latino, the movie channel, the AMC okay. Walking Dead, the one that does The Walking Dead and everything. Yeah. So they had the Latino studio offices right next to us.
Wow.
And it was awesome, dude.
Hence the Hollywood.
Yeah, the Hollywood. So they were just like a bunch of movie studios everywhere right there. So, I mean, you know, movie studios, they have a lot of young people working from all over the world. So it's a lot. The nightlife there in that area was amazing. The food was great. Oh, man. Buenos Aires is a beautiful place. Beautiful place. And the food, pizza, steak, sausages, chorizo, lots of pizza. Did I mention pizza? Ice cream like in every other block. Like we have Starbucks here or McDonald's.
They have ice cream.
Really? And it gets delivered to your room. Or your house or whatever, they have little like scooters that would deliver ice cream to you.
Like, because they bring it cold, like it's a cold cooler or whatever.
Yeah, they have a little cooler in back of the scooter, so you get ice cream delivered to you. So I was like, oh, this, I'm in heaven. So like, you can get pizza. I saw more ice cream.
What's up with the pizza? Just a big Italian influence?
Yeah, it's huge Italian influence. So Argentina, if you know Spanish, I mean, you'll get by, but their Spanish is a little bit different. So think about like how we speak Spanish, but with like an Italian influence, like a little Italian, little musical song, you know, like how they speak. But so there's huge Italian influence. Pizza's everywhere. We went to one called Kentucky Pizza.
All right.
Since 1942.
Okay.
So mozza, everything was mozza, mozzarella cheese pizza with olives, with green olives on there.
Okay.
And so we had a bunch of that. I had a lot of pizza.
They have a lot, they put a lot of olives in their food or?
Not a lot of olives.
Olives like a pepperoni pizza here? Like did you just get
olives
in the pizza?
It's pretty common. Yeah, a lot of olives. And steak.
What's the dining experience like? Did you guys go to like a restaurant?
We didn't have a kitchen, so we ate out every day. So that was awesome. That was great.
What was the best restaurant that you went to? What was that experience like?
We went to this, but it was in a different city, not in Buenos Aires. It was in Buenos Aires. It was called, it's a steakhouse. It was a steakhouse in Buenos Aires. Huge soccer fans in Buenos Aires. So, they had all the pictures and the jerseys all over the place. Place was in, most of the time you think of like a steakhouse that's being super old. This one's from the 90s, but the place is like really well known. Like everybody goes there. And the meat was so good and tender that the guy who chopped it, like cut it up for you so you can like split it because it's family portions. Everything's family portion.
All right.
So family style, right? Big portions and everything. So it's great. So you get your steak or whatever, ribs, ribeye, all that good stuff, right? And he's cutting it up to like put it on your plate and then put it on Evelyn's plate or put it on everybody's plate. And he'd cut it up with a spoon. So he'd grab like a knife and spoon and just be chopping it up with a spoon. It was that tender and juicy that the meat was just falling off of everything. And wow. It was just so good. So the restaurant is called La Brigada. And it's just really famous place. We didn't have to call for reservations, but you have to be careful because with Argentina, everything closes like midday. Sometimes somewhere between 1:30 and 3 o'clock, everything closes. Restaurants, stores, everything closes. So you either got to get like up early and then get your meals going. And then after that, they open like at 4 or 5 o'clock.
Got it.
So it's like, so we have to like time it right because you're, you know, you're traveling. So time flies.
Yeah.
But yeah, the if you go to Argentina, if you go to Buenos Aires, you have to go to La Brigada. It is amazing. Really, really good food. I wanted to go there more than once.
So but what's it like? Is it like courses? Is it like, what can you relate that to here?
It seems, everything seems a lot fancier there. Like a lot more proper. The best service I've ever had anywhere in my travels and anywhere in the United States.
Wow.
Everybody is like professional. Everybody has like really good manners at the restaurant and good customer service and good service from your waiters and everything. So it was just amazing. And everything looks a lot fancier, so you're like scared to go in because it's all white linen and everything, right? But no, it's just, I was ordering a pizza, you know, or whatever. It just like, it just seems really fancy because they're really professional. It seems a lot nicer than what we normally expect, like a hamburger stand.
Yeah.
But it didn't make it more expensive. It's just that that's how they roll.
Yeah. No. Wow. That's interesting. That's cool, man. What you mentioned that maybe you went to other places in other cities. What cities did you go to?
So we started off in Buenos Aires, and that's like the big city, right? I'm not sure if it's their capital. I think it is. But so that's the big city. That's like their LA or their New York, right? So then we went to Iguazu. Iguazu is north of the country, really, really north of the country. And that's like a jungle area. So they have a bunch of waterfalls there. They have one called that divides two countries. It divides Argentina and Brazil. So it's called La Garganta del Diablo. So the dragon's throat. And it's this huge, huge waterfall. And just like, it's just amazing. It just blows your mind just to see that much water coming down.
Really?
But then they have all these other waterfalls.
It's other ones.
Other ones.
In the region.
Yeah, in that same area. So in that walking distance, you know, just hundreds of waterfalls all over. And they all have their names. And it's just the water upon water just falling. It's just unreal, you know. You have to see it.
What was the river? Like, what's the name of the big river?
It was the Iguazu River.
The Iguazu.
Yeah. Iguazu River, yeah. So in that one, there's part where... there's a section that we went to in Iguazu where it connects, the rivers connect three countries. So you can like literally see another country, two other countries from where you're standing. So we were on the Argentina side and to my right was Brazil and to my left. And the only thing that's dividing it is just a little river,
the
right?
The water, yeah.
The water. And to my left is Paraguay.
Okay.
So they're all just right there. So you can go to three different countries in like 10 minutes, you know, or if you have a boat, you can go like in two, you know, it's pretty trippy.
Wait, don't you have a Paraguay jersey?
I do.
I remember that from World Cup.
Yep.
Oh, shoot.
So that's pretty cool. And so we went to Iguazu to see the waterfalls. And while there, we had we saw so many and met so many Brazilians because Brazil's right there. So they come and buy their stuff and go back to Brazil. I guess they get better deals or whatever. So saw a lot of Brazilians. And then after that, we went to Mendoza. Mendoza's known for their wine country. So these three different areas that we went to, there's totally different climates. So Buenos Aires was like a little colder right now because their spring was coming. It was just about to start. Yeah, their spring was about to start. And then we went to the jungle. So it was humid because it's like a forest and jungle, right? And then went to Mendoza, and it was kind of dry, super, super dry climate, which is good for grapes, I guess. That's what they told us. And so they have Mendoza is really known for snowboarding and skiing in the wintertime, and their wines, their Malbec wines, red wine, and had some amazing, amazing wines.
Wow. It seems like there's tons of wildlife. What animals really grabbed your attention,
dude,
that we don't see here?
I saw a freaking toucan, man. I saw a toucan.
Did you follow his nose?
Yeah, follow your nose. Toucan, and you know, toucan from Guinness.
Like a for real toucan.
I saw a lot of them, dude. They're awesome.
That's crazy.
It's like, how does a bird with a big ass beak like that fly? Like, you'd be like top heavy, you know, just beak heavy.
Beak heavy, yeah.
Dude, they're really cool. But then they had like this one, and Kyoki, I can't remember what the hell this is called, but it was like a mix of a raccoon and an anteater and different combinations of all these animals, and they were just walking around everywhere stealing everybody's food, just trying to steal your food. If you had like snacks, they're gonna take them.
Anteaters, kind of looking.
Yeah, they're weird looking, like anteaters, big tail, but like raccoon. They're really weird. I've never seen them in my life. You know.
Oh man.
A lot of lizards in Iwazu. A lot of lizards. Big ass lizards. Just
tropical.
This is tropical. Just noises, like all these noises I've never heard in my life.
So Argentina, it had been recovering from a financial crisis for like, I don't know, almost eight years. Were there any signs of that from like a tourist standpoint? I mean, I know maybe people who live there, but did you see any of that?
No, not at all. No, I didn't feel anything. It just, I mean, the prices were pretty good. I thought it was going to be a lot more expensive than it actually was.
Maybe that's one.
Maybe that's one. Yeah, that probably didn't affect me at all, though. But I mean, for them, I'm sure. From what we're talking to, like their tour guide, tourism is not their biggest thing. Like they have like all these other industries, like oil and gas. And that's probably what affected their economy, but tourism is not like their top three, so they're not worried about that part. And but it was awesome, man. The people were there, super friendly,
like you said, professional,
just hustlers, you know, really
so,
good.
So all right, what'd you like to drink? What were your top three things that you like to drink?
Oh.
You said Malbec.
Malbec wine was, I had that like almost every day.
What are the other two?
You know what I did try?
So if you go to Argentina, try Malbec.
Yes, you have to try it. It's just like, it's the wine that they make there. It's amazing. Their beer was good. Patagonia beer. Quilmes. Quilmes is like their.
Quilmes, yeah.
It's their beer.
That's their standard. It's a lager,
Imperial,
I think.
Uh-huh, Imperial beer. But I had to try what every Argentina drinks there, you know, just it's, you know, when we go any trip, you have to try what the
when in Rome, baby.
When in Rome, right? So and then it came to my mind, it's like they're known for Fernet. They love Fernet Blanc.
Yeah.
Blanca, Fernet Blanca. But Gina,
that's,
she's been on the show.
That. Yeah,
yeah. So when you think of Fernet, I think of Gina.
I told it all the time.
Right?
That girl friggin' has gills for Fernet.
Fernet, right? I think she bleeds for it. So when we were there, I was like, oh, I know I got to try this, right? So they have a cola, Coca-Cola with Fernet. Mm. So it's like cola beer when you go to Germany.
Yeah.
So
Cola Fernet.
Cola Fernet. So when I was eating that, I mean, I was drinking that with my pizza at Kentucky because they sell it at the Kentucky Pizza Place.
Yeah.
So I was eating that with my pizza and drinking my cola and Fernet. Super herby, but it was pretty good. It's cool.
Right on, man. All right, you've given us so many facts. I'm sure there's more things that you can't think about, but I'm gonna ask you, what are the three things that you can you tell me three things that you learned that Argentina has that our listeners would like to know?
Okay.
Random, like toucans exist. They don't exist on Fruit
Loop
boxes.
There's a lot of waterfalls. When you flush the toilet, the water goes the opposite way.
Yeah, that's true. That's not a myth.
It's not a myth. Nope. So when you flush the toilet, it just your poop goes the other way.
It goes the other way. All right. Does it come out of your butt the other way? Like, does it swirl? Like
when you like it goes, it turns
once
the other way
in the toilet. Yeah. All right, that's lowbrow. Lowbrow. All right, but the toilet you flush it, and the swirls
swirl.
Go the other way.
Yep. They use che for everything, like the word che. So you think of Ernesto Che Guevara. Che is like bro and hey and yes and everything. So everything che. Is Che. So Che, Walter, vámonos para acá, you know, or just like, yeah. Bueno, and then bueno, bueno too. It's like we would talk to our taxi guy and we'd tell him where we wanted to go. And he'd be like, bueno. And I'm like, oh, that's so cool. So it sounded Italian, but it was Spanish, you know? Yeah. So just really, really cool. I mean, I want to go back already.
And they're both, and Italian and Spanish are both Latin, descended from Latin.
Yeah.
So very, very similar. Lot of similarities.
But I think you would like this, Walt.
Oh, yeah. Number three.
What's that? Oh, no. Number three, yes.
What I would like, no? Go ahead.
All right. No, I just thought of this right now. So when we were there, before we got there, we were told by someone from Argentina that lives here in Palos Verdes. He was telling us that, oh, man, good luck. Good luck getting there. Hopefully Argentina wins. If not, your trip's going to be messed up. Argentina was playing Colombia or someone for... No, they were playing... Who were they playing? For the World Cup.
A qualifier.
A qualifier for the World Cup, right? So they were playing, but if they lost, they weren't going to make it to the World Cup. Mm. So we were flying in when they were playing. So he told us, if they lose, you're going to be fucked. It's going to be messed up because everybody's going to have a long face. It's been like 30-something years since Argentina didn't qualify for the World Cup, so everybody's going to be mad. So they won. But the cool part about it also is that when they were playing, U2 delayed their concert while they were in Buenos Aires because of the game. Because they knew that nobody was going to go to the concert
because of the game. Yeah.
So they delayed the starting of the concert because of the game.
Yeah.
I thought that was freaking cool.
That's mad respect. That's smart. You know, that when you talk about U2, I don't want to go to break yet. I never want to go to break. This is awesome. Did you come across any venues that you thought like, dude, that'd be a cool place to see a band? Or like, did you find any bands that were playing that you were like, oh, that's pretty cool. Kind of like when we were in Amsterdam and like the Cult played, James Brown played, mm-hmm. and we happened to be there. Did you come across any venues or that place where like, oh, shoot, that's where bands play?
Well, most of the
maybe in the Buenos Aires.
A lot of them played in the stadiums, right? So in the big stadiums, and we drove by a couple of them, and I do remember seeing like posters for a bunch of American bands that were going there, but I just can't recall the names of the bands, and I probably have pictures of them, but can't remember right now. But the thing that I do like sticks in my head is I was watching a documentary, one of their channels there. This documentary about the Ramones in Argentina.
All right.
So the Ramones played originally in 1987 in Argentina, in Buenos Aires, to like a sold out show for like the whole weekend or, you know, multiple days there. Then they go back in 91 and play there, right? And then so that's a long time between 87 and 91 and a couple, maybe a generation or two. So, and it's in a different country. So, a lot of people were older enough, so they probably didn't go see the Ramones after the first time, 1987. But they still sold out shows. But after that 91 show, they had like Ramone fever. Everybody started getting to the Ramones. Then they came back in 96, and it was like the Beatles showed up to Buenos Aires. Because like the streets were closed off, and people were like with Ramone flags and shirts and dressed like the Ramones and wearing leathers and just rocking out for the Ramones.
Wow, in 97, 96?
96.
That's already like, you know, when you think of their heyday here in the States, CBGBs, New York, that's like late 70s, early 80s, mid-80s, max.
Yeah, exactly, right? And so it was just like the Beatles showed up in Buenos Aires. And
nice.
So the documentary was insane. They were interviewing all these like hardcore Ramones fans. And what they went through, and that they would buy multiple tickets to the different shows so they could sit in different places to see how it looked from different seats. And it's just like, oh, these guys were like showing off their tattoos. It was like, dude, that is awesome. That's one thing.
Che, go, let's go. Che, go, let's go.
The last thing, if number three, Walt, for you, number three.
Give it to me. Give it to
number
me.
Number three would have to be that. They play a lot of really good music. They love their music there. So they played a lot of America. They played a lot of like old classic rock songs. a lot, dude. The Guns N' Roses.
Wait, did you say America, like American music, or the band
the
America?
The band America.
Like, I freaking horse with no name.
Yeah, is that yeah.
Like America?
America. I mean, just who else? Earth, Wind, and Fire. Just a bunch of really cool bands. Yeah, a lot of really like really good bands.
Transcendent American bands.
Yes.
Cool.
So they love their music there and their ice cream.
And their ice. And their Mutza.
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 And their Walter and Fonz Show podcast. Yep. That's amazing, Fonz. That is incredible, your trip.
It was fun, dude. And I have a new condiment to add to my collection in the refrigerator, too.
Olives.
No, olives, yeah, olives. But also it's called a salsa golf.
Salsa golf?
Salsa golf. So it's ketchup and mayonnaise.
Like Thousand Islands.
Like that with a little bit of lemon.
Oh, with the lemon.
Yeah. So if it's made
no
fresh.
No relish.
No relish. And just because everything comes with fries there. French fries.
And everyone mixes that. I feel like we did that. A lot of people do that.
Yeah. Well, mayonnaise especially. Like everything is mayonnaise too. Like you go to Europe.
Well, this show comes with some more Cooper Crows.
Perfect.
Want some more?
I just need French fries.
Oh, that's just beautiful. Just beautiful. You know what else is beautiful, Fonz? To end the show, we've been doing this for 10 years. 10 years, dude. Wow. I'm looking at that. So our original podcast was called Tres Jefes. We started in about, and you know, we were on the cover of Podcast User Magazine in October of 2007, but we were already podcasting for a long time, like, 7 shows. So my earliest recollection is that we probably started in 2007, right? It couldn't have been a year. We didn't do a year's worth of work. Everything was so quick. Remember we had that commercial done?
But you have to think about it too. It seems quick because we were partying.
And you know what? I hadn't stopped partying till 2013 when I met my wife.
See?
So you got to keep partying. So, right, I have to imagine we started somewhere around there, 2006, 2007, right?
2006, I think. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But it's been 10 years since we were on the cover of that. If you look at that, in front of the men's county jail over in L.A., right? Right there by Alameda and Cesar Chavez.
The Twin Towers?
The Twin Towers by Union Station. What do you remember from when we first started that's different from the way we're running our podcast right now?
What do I remember from... Oh, man, 40s, lots of 40s.
Lots of 40s.
40s, and then just how complicated it seemed.
To put this interweb world, worldwide web.
Mixers, and I mean, we still use a lot of that stuff, but it's more compact, and it just seems so unapproachable before. You know, like you had to have like a lot of knowledge prior to being able to do it.
And think about how we were in the forefront, right? Like, dude, what I remember are my dad's karaoke machine mics.
Microphones, yeah.
Mics. In the garage,
in
right?
In the garage, yep.
And, dude, I had an interesting conversation with this really good friend of mine. Her name's Anna. So I had a conversation with her mom, right? Anna, and this is why I bring this up, because Anna is a journalism major at Cal State Long Beach. And one of her assignments is do a 7-minute podcast. Like, that's a college assignment. Like, what we were doing in our garage. Yeah. Like, that's with karaoke mics. Now you have the technology, better technology, to do it on your phone than when we first started. And that, like, you're going to get college-level credit for doing what we were doing in the garage 10 years ago. Isn't that crazy?
That is crazy. Man, that's nuts.
And I know dudes like Dan Klass, they've written books and they represent, they've been associated with UCLA to kind of do that media stuff. So it's not like you can't say like, oh, I can't believe that that'll never happen. It's happening. Podcast is here. It's a way to get out, but you still have to take a step back when you have been there that long and been an identity of a podcaster, not a entertainer who does podcasts, not a business mogul who does podcasting, not a religion who does podcasting, a podcaster who does podcasting for the sake of podcasting, storytelling, telling incredible tales from the forefront. From karaoke mics.
From karaoke mics.
Into college level assignments, right? College level classes. And
that blows my mind that you said that she's getting college credit for something that we would have, when we started, we had to go out on the street to promote our show. But first, we had to tell people what a podcast
was. What it was, yeah.
How they can download it, upload it, and hear it. Or, you know, remember?
Yeah. What was the tagline? You had it. Yeah. You download it. What was it?
Oh, my God. You just said it. Yeah, download it. Upload it. No, I don't know what it was.
You upload it, we download it, yeah. Then you throw it away. But, you know, I live by this bar, Battley's. We live by this bar, Battley's. It was the Broadway bar. Remember we did a show out here?
Yeah, and you had to, you had to tell people, hey, can I ask you a couple of questions for my podcast? What's a podcast?
Internet radio. What's internet radio? Yeah.
And it wasn't internet radio. I mean, just, you know, it's like it was the easiest way to, transition people or educate people on what you were doing.
Yeah.
So you had to, show them the product before they can answer the questions for the show that you were doing.
Yeah.
And now they're getting college credit for that. Now everybody knows what a podcast is.
Yeah. And there's going to be someone in that class, in Anna's Cal State Long Beach class, that's going to slack and be like, I'm going to pull my phone and do a podcast on my phone. Like, I'm going to pull it out and I'm going to talk to the voice app on my iPhone.
Yeah, to the recorder right there and just upload.
Which is what we strive so hard to get, that kind of quality.
Yeah.
Through our whatever, MacBook One, MacBook Half.
Not even iRiver.
Apple 2C.
iRiver and a mixer. River.
Yeah, exactly.
An iRiver and a mixer, man.
And now, do you think that's good? Or do you think that it's bad, that it's so diluted, that now it's accessible to everyone to have a podcast?
Now I think it's good.
Yeah.
The fact that anybody can do it, it's great. Now you can tell quality, storytelling. Now the quality of the product is what's going to be the standout instead of the quantity.
Yeah.
You know, so now it's a different thing.
So, I'm on board. I love it. I love that podcasting is here to stay. Remember, it was threatened by, video. Everyone's going to go video.
Yeah.
No, it's not. No. It's not going anywhere. And,
because you can't drive in and watch a video, too, you know?
No, you can't. Remember our original conferences and our conventions?
LA Podcasters.
Yeah. Yeah, baby. I helped a dude fix his car, dude. I helped that dude... fix his car, and he was totally
Nerd Blurb
and Podcast Pickle and all those. Remember, we used to meet at a Farmer's Market on the west side, and we had our 10-year reunion, and this one LA podcaster gal who is very successful came in and was like, "Who?" I thought I was the original LA podcaster. And we're like, "You're 10 years too late. You're 10 years too late." But you know what she did? She was all about it, and she befriended all of us. Esprit, I can't remember her last name, but she's a very successful woman in tech. And podcast is here to stay, people. The pilot number 70 is here to stay. Walter and Fawn show is here to stay. Fawn, I'm glad you made it back.
Che.
On that note, let's see if we got any more of this. Cooper's Crows, Argentina. Dodgers, I you know, we'll get them next year. Nacho Cheese is here to stay.
I just want to thank everybody for listening to our show. It's 70 shows, 10 years later, a different show, but thanks for listening. Thanks for taking the time.
Well said, Fonz. Well said. The pilot number 70 in the books.